Get the message and start looking at your life relative to what Scripture is calling for. That's the challenge of the morning. It says, exhort one another daily while it is called today. How often are we supposed to be challenging one another? Daily. That is to characterize us. We hardly talk once a week. Do you understand the challenge? This is to be part of a vibrant work. And it's one of the challenges of American Christianity. The deceitfulness of sin is the big problem, and we as a culture are really overwhelmed in this area. When I think of the deceitfulness of sin, well, I'll try to give a few examples of that in just a moment here, but we have to be careful. Because we allow sin to creep in, it is easy to have our hearts hardened and not even recognize it. We just grow cold to being excited about the things of the Lord, and we can get ourselves into huge problems. The Israelites saw giants. The current New First Testament believers were fearful of persecution. I just gave you a couple examples of what I saw, okay, in my own personal life, but my life is not unique. We all have these things that come upon us, and we can't explain them, and there's something in our flesh that takes us to pull us back, and we start to wonder what in the world's going on. We need to remember God's promises. We need to remember God's goodness. We need to remember God's character and trust Him, even if that means that we take our last breath in the next hour. Because God says all things work together for them that love God and them that are called according to His purpose. They work out well. Now, it may not be easy, and it may not seem well from the perspective of this life, but God is true to His word. Psalms 95, I was going to go there, but you might just turn over there quickly. Psalms 95, I challenge you to read later today in the light of this context. It was written several hundred years after the Exodus, several hundred years after they were rejected from going into the promised land. And in verse 7, I'm just going to pick up and read two verses in the middle of it. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His land. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Don't do what they did. Why is He saying that? Why is He saying it in the book of Hebrews? Because it is real world problem. You and I have to be careful that we do not go cold in our walk with the Lord. And that's a danger. And if you don't recognize it as a danger, you really are in danger. Think about your response to things that do not go the way you want. How does your response compare to the Israelites' response? You know, you're saying, well, why didn't they trust God and go in? Well, I'm telling you, if you step back and be honest about it, we are facing those same things, and they could be asking us, why didn't you? Isn't it not a legitimate question to ask me? Listen, you have been walking with the Lord over 30 years. You have these couple things come up. You've worked with hundreds of people that have gone through huge crises, way bigger than what you're facing. Why were you wondering whether God was going to care for this? Do you see the point? But not only do you need to be reminded, I need to be reminded, we need to be reminding one another. Because life has a way of having some ebbs and flows. It's going well today, and then you wake up the next morning. And it may not go well. And we ought to be there for one another. Number two, what attitudes underlie your response? Your response to what underlaid the response of the Israelites? I think it was a doubt in whether God was powerful enough to do it. Would He really do it? Would He do it for everybody else as they march into the promised land, except for George? And George is saying, well, He may do it for the nation, but I'll probably die. You understand what I'm saying? Think about your attitude towards God. He is a great God. It is, we should all be so thrilled because we live in this country. None of us are wondering whether we're going to eat something today. There are a lot of places in the world where that is definitely the issue. Deceitfulness of sin. I said I was going to share it. I don't think I put it in the power. Maybe I did. Because of the deceitfulness of sin, you and I, per scripture, need to have friendships that are real. What do I mean by friendships that are real? We need to grant other people the privilege to probe. Just recently I was at having coffee with some others, and that was the issue. Ask me on a regular basis. When you see me, ask me how I'm doing. That's a wise thing to do, because that's what we should be doing. But you know what happens often in these situations? Well, that's kind of embarrassing. I don't think I'm going to ask them about it. I don't want to be dwelling on that myself. No, we have a responsibility to interact and to open up and to interact and hold each other accountable and engage, because life is not to be led. The Christian walk is not to be a walk of a lone ranger. We need to grant them permission to encourage and challenge. Now, as a pastor, one of the greatest things, you know, and I've shared this with other pastors, I've had other pastors send me emails back periodically. I get these things that are out of the blue. What are you talking about? They said, you know, when you told me to ask permission before I did talk to somebody about issues or talk to them about the Lord, said there was nothing that was more liberating. I say that to you right now. When I'm interacting with someone, I ask for permission. Many times people don't grant it, by the way. Can I talk to you about spiritual matters? No, I'm not interested in talking about it. Okay, if you ever change your mind, I'd love to talk to you about spiritual matters. But I'm clear. But if they grant it, if they say yes, and many times they do, then you're in a different position. You're able to talk. You're not uptight about, should I be doing this? Is this politically incorrect? You know, all of that stuff evaporates when two people have an understanding that, hey, we're going to talk about this together. What do you spend your time talking about with your closest friends? I had a wonderful dinner last night with a couple couples from our church. But think about our conversation. You know, the sweet part about it is we did have prayer in the middle of it, not just for the meal, but we did pray. We talked about a lot of other things too. And it's not wrong to talk about other things, but do you recognize how often you can get together with other believers and never mention Christ? Is that not true? Am I the only one that's observed that? It's easy to be around others and not talk about the Lord, even when you know they're believers. I'm telling you, that isn't the way it's supposed to be. What openness level do you have? But you know what? We'll just leave it at that. What I was trying to ask is the simple question. You know, when you're with my one son that is in the pastorate, the two of us have a long time ago just said, you know what, we're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to ask the tough questions. When they come up, when what we're reading or what we're preaching about, we're going to ask each other about those questions. It's very, you know, in some respects, it sometimes catches you off guard. Say, oh, I hadn't thought about that. You know, how's your prayer life? Why don't you describe it to me? Did you have to ask me today? I've got to take another phone call right now, Jace. I'll call you back tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that's the type of encouragement that's supposed to be going on. Do you encourage one another daily? Do you have anybody that you're in that type of relationship with? The sad truth is, many husbands and wives don't even do that. And it's not supposed to be that way. But it's very easy in our fast pace to get caught up. Accountability questions. I'm obviously trying to move forward here. The type of accountability questions that we should and could be asking each other. Have you spent time in the Word and in prayer in the last week? Tell me about it. That's a good thing for believers to be asking one another. Number two, have you shared the gospel with an unbeliever this week? How many of you are around unbelievers on a daily basis? Okay? Did you see the point? We do have contact with unbelievers, but I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But how many of you shared the gospel with an unbeliever last week? And recognizing that our unbelieving friends are without hope, and if they don't come to know Jesus Christ, they're going to go off into an eternity of damnation. You have to ask yourself, don't I care about them? What gives? You really have to ask yourself about your own values. Have you spent quality time with your family? Or is it just rush here, rush there, rush here, everywhere? And the last people to get any time is your family. Have you had any lustful thoughts or temptations this week? Do you think that's a problem in the Christian environment? It's a huge problem, but we don't ask. We're not asking one another any of these questions. We live in an extremely sensualized culture. And it's a challenge not just for men, it's for men and women both. Have you viewed anything, saying immoral this week? Is that possible in our environment? Literally, I think if you use the standards of 30 years ago, if you watch television for an hour, you're in trouble. Have you told any lies on behalf or half-truths to put yourself in a positive light before others? We, as believers, are to speak the truth. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? But is it easy in our environment to be put into situations where, you know, if I told them the truth, maybe I'll tell them half-truth. They don't have to know it all. You understand what I'm saying? Have you participated in anything unethical this week? These are the type of accountability questions that genuine believers would be wise to ask and to give grant permission to one another to ask. And you know what will happen if you do this? Your relationships will grow, not fade away. And that is what it's talking about in Hebrews. And that is so different than showing up on Sunday morning and then going your way. You get the point? It's a whole different paradigm. But the paradigm that God intends for us to have is to recognize that the goal is not happiness, it's Christ-likeness. When I say Christ-likeness, he went all the way to the cross and he suffered phenomenally for us. He gave his life for us. And we are to be Christ-like. He said, I didn't come here to be served, but I came to serve and to give myself my life a ransom. You know, when you're asking yourself these questions, this eighth question is an important one. It's just a double check to say, hey, have I been honest as I've been going through this? Or have I allowed the circumstances to pressure me into saying half-truths? Because I want to look good before my Christian brother or sister. The gospel contact of change is a local fellowship. It clearly includes the preaching and teaching of the word like we are doing this morning. It clearly involves that because the word of God is used by the Spirit of God. But In our own personal time, we're to be memorizing the Word and meditating on the Word and learning the Word. And in our lives, we are to be sharing our walk with Christ with others and asking each other the tough questions. I'm telling you, if you will get into these types of relationships, now men with men, women with women, I'm not talking about other than your wife in those situations, be careful in that one, but in those situations, that's why our small groups take us a long ways, but we need to at least offer an option to that that takes it to another level where it is men with men and women with women, and we can ask the accountability questions that need to be asked of one another. And by the way, we're going there. We just need a little more time to get the stuff together, and we're going to be talking about it on one of these Sunday mornings.